Go ahead and get a hold of your Bible as you're having a seat. Open up to the wonderful text of Hebrews, the fifth chapter. We've been in Hebrews, the fifth chapter, for quite a while. For those of you that are just joining us for the first time, we go line upon line, precept upon precept, as the Bible says to. We believe that God wrote it that way. We ought to understand it that way. And so we've been going through the principles here in Hebrews chapter number 5. And we've come to a section talking about maturity, talking about growing up, talking about becoming a mature person in the things of God. Hebrew church the Hebrews that were being written to in the church scattered abroad were starting to regress. Instead of progressing, they were regressing. And the writer of Hebrews says, this time you ought to have been teachers by now. You should have had such a good grasp of these things that you should have been able to teach others as well. And yet you need someone to teach you again. And this is where we come to today in our study in Hebrews, the fifth chapter, verse number 13. It says this. It says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, if I could remind you of some of the thoughts, you remember we talked about milk. We talked about milk as the first principles of the word of God. That those that are babies, those that are immature, are the ones who partake only of milk, like the text said. See, those that are mature, they don't put away the milk and say, I don't need that anymore. No, they still drink milk. They still incorporate it into their lives. But they also have solid food that they incorporate, and they go on to maturity. Now they are pouring into others' lives and teaching others. They're able to handle solid food, and that belongs to mature people. And so we see that one of the differences between an immature Christian and a mature Christian is that they partake not only of milk, but also of solid food. Why? Because they are not unskilled in the word of righteousness, but they are skilled in the word of righteousness. The title of today's message is Skilled for Life. Skilled for Life. See, as a mature believer, we have to get a hold of the skill from God's word for our lives. Let's take a look at the verse once again. Hebrews, the fifth chapter, verse number 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, as I take a look at that, I see a couple of words that I want to draw out. Number one is unskilled. Unskilled. That means that they don't have the experience, they don't have the wisdom in life. For what? It says in the word of righteousness. See, that milk is the first principles of what? The word of God. The solid food is the mature believer's food that comes from where? The word of God. So we see that these people were unskilled in the word of righteousness. They didn't have the wisdom of God applied to their life. And you could say, as you look at that word righteousness, you take a look at that. I love how it says it in the Old English. In the Old English, you will notice it's even spelled differently. And the root of the word comes from right wiseness. That's how they used to say righteousness. It was right wiseness. It was a wisdom for living life. And so if we're going to get skilled in the word of righteousness, that means that we have to take the word of God, get a hold of the principles of the wisdom of God, and start to apply it in our lives. Are you listening today? Now, in the dictionary, if you take a look at wisdom, you'll find two basic definitions. First of all is having or showing experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Now, we understand that. We say many times people grow older, and with age comes wisdom, right? We know that saying. And a lot of times people say, you know, just as you get older, you'll start to get the wisdom that you need. And yet, hold on a second. Does that mean that I could cryogenically freeze somebody when they're born and then break them out 60 years later and they're going to come out with wisdom? Well, no. Why? Because it's not just age. There has to be something that happens. Sometimes people say, well, you know, really wise people learn from their mistakes. And that's really what it's all about, is going to the school of hard knocks. And as you go through that, you'll gain wisdom. And yes, you'll gain some practical insight. You'll learn some things to do, what not to do. But have you noticed that it didn't say that just because you have experiences, that that's the only thing that gets you wisdom? See, it's unskilled in the word of righteousness. So it's not just about our experience, because we could learn something from life, learn what to do and what not to do, and miss out on the wisdom of God's word. Others would say, well, the truly wise are those that learn from other people's mistakes. You can learn what to do and what not to do, and yet again, we miss out on the application of the word of God. Because what if they did something, they messed up, they failed, and we said, oh, I won't do that, but they failed trying for God. They failed doing the right thing. Well, now, that doesn't compute. We say, well, if you do the right thing, you won't fail. And yet, I see plenty of people in the Bible that did the right thing, and yet it looked like failure. My goodness, even Jesus went to the cross, had all of his disciples leave him. What happened? Did he fail? No, he was doing the will of God. And so we can get confused looking at the worldly wisdom when we take a definition like having or showing experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Well, what about the other definition of wisdom? Well, responding sensibly or shrewdly to a particular situation. So we could say, as I look at this situation, I know how to act. That's wisdom. Yes, that's worldly wisdom. That's just the basic level of wisdom. As I was studying this out and searching this out, I came across a book on Proverbs by Pastor Bob Yandian, great teacher, great man of God. And in his book, he said this. Now, I want you to get a hold of this because I believe that as you hear what he writes, that it's really going to unlock some understanding as we get into what we're talking about today. This is what he said. He said, experience alone is not enough to teach us wisdom. Everyone has experiences, but not everyone profits from them. It is the Word of God which we use in the experience of life which actually teaches us wisdom. The Word is like a nail and experience like a hammer driving that nail home. The harder the experience, the more we should lean on the Word and the more wisdom is driven down deep into our hearts. One day it will become an inseparable part of us. See, that's what the Word of God is talking about, that we need to get the skill of life. We need to get skilled in the Word of righteousness, the right wiseness of God. Not only a position with God of righteousness, but now the practice of God's Word in our everyday life. So a mature person is one who gets wise and skilled and is able to respond to life's circumstances. In fact, I want to give you a definition for wisdom today as we go. I'll put it up on the overheads for you. And that is wise equals skilled, which equals the ability to respond to life with God's Word. If you're taking notes, go ahead and write that down real fast. It's there for you up on the overheads. Wise equals skilled, which equals the ability to respond to life with God's Word. See, if we respond to life with anything other than God's Word, we're not going to get the results of God's Word. We could respond to life with our own thoughts, with our own ideas, with our own ways, maybe the ways that we were raised in, the ways of the culture or the society around us. We can respond to life the way that we were educated or trained, or we can respond to life with the wisdom of God. Are you listening today? Wisdom is our responsibility, not anybody else's responsibility. You don't get it by just coming, sit in church, I wave a magical wand over you, all of a sudden you have the wisdom of God. I wish I could do that. I'd do that to myself if I could. But it doesn't work like that. Wisdom is our responsibility. We have to get a hold of it. In fact, the Bible commands us to get wisdom at all cost. Let me show it to you in the book of Proverbs. Turn there with me. You're there in Hebrews. Turn to the Old Testament. Right about the middle of the Bible, you'll find the Psalms. Right after the Psalms, you'll find the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 4. And let's take a look at this together. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. We're going to take a look at verse number 5 through verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse number 5, says this. It says, get wisdom. What are we supposed to get? Wisdom. Oh, you got to stir yourself up today. I know some of you guys didn't set the alarm, and you should have been here at the first service, but didn't happen, so you're here at the second. That's okay. Listen, you got to stir yourselves up today. Not just sit there and spectate. This is time to participate. Okay, so let's try that again. Get what?
Wisdom.
Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Look at verse number 6. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Now, what's going on in the book of Proverbs, actually, if you read the context, if you read around this, you will find that wisdom is pictured as a woman that is crying out from the rooftops to everybody who passes by and is compelling people and telling people, come and get your wisdom. Come and find what I have for you. Come and get the right way of doing life, God's way. And so that's why it says in verse number 6, do not forsake her. Do not forsake wisdom. And wisdom will preserve you. Love wisdom, and wisdom will keep you. Wow, that's pretty awesome. But take a look at verse number 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. So what is the principal thing?
Wisdom.
Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the priority. Wisdom is the first thing that we should be seeking. Wow. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. See, we're commanded to get a hold of this. It is our responsibility. And isn't it like God to not only tell us what to do, but also to give us an incentive if we do it? See, God knew that we were incentive-driven. He knew that we would have that what's in it for me mentality. You know, I'm not going to do something that I don't see the benefit of doing it. So God says, I want to show you what the benefit of wisdom is, and I'm going to make it so lucrative, so enticing, so advantageous for your life that you will just want to get a hold of it, that you will be running to get a hold of it, that you will get a hold of it at all cost. You want to see the incentives? Well, you're there in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 3. Maybe just look to the other side of the page or turn a page over. Proverbs chapter number 3, starting in verse number 13. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse number 13, talking about the incentives of getting wisdom. Proverbs 3:13 says this, happy. Everybody put a smile on your face and say happy.
Happy,
happy is the man who finds wisdom. Wow, there's an incentive. And the man who gains understanding. Now look at verse 14. For her, or wisdoms, remember, her is wisdom in this scenario. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. Now hold on a second. See, in our economic uncertainty of the times that we're living in right now, a lot of people pulled their money out of the stock market. They said, I lost too much. No more 401k. I can't afford to lose anymore. So they pulled all their money out of that. And they said, I'm not going to invest in real estate. The bottom fell out of the real estate market. People are underwater. Everything's upside down. It's not recovering, and cash is king. And unless you got that, don't invest in real estate right now. There's no money to be made in the law. See, we just can't invest. So what did they do? They started investing in gold and silver. So much so, in fact, you can't turn on the TV without seeing somebody telling you to buy gold. It's the only solid investment right now. Buy American gold, right? And they got these gold bars and these bricks, and they're showing Fort Knox and all that kind of stuff. And they're wanting you to buy gold. But I'm here to tell you today that there is something that yields a better profit, that it has a better margin, that the gains are much greater than silver and gold. And that is according to the Word of God, the wisdom of God that will profit you and bring gain into your life. Wow, let's read on. Verse number 15, for she is more precious than rubies. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. And this next part of the verse just blew my mind. When I read it, I just thought, that is just crazy. That's just wild that God would make a claim like this. But take a look at what he's saying. Remember, incentive. God wants us to get a hold of this because it's going to bless our lives. And it's just going to take us to a whole other level. Are you listening today? And all the things you may desire. Wait a second. Hold on. Can somebody tell me what all means? Hold on. Can somebody please tell me again? What does all mean? All means all. All the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Oh my. See, we've got a lot of desires. A lot of things we want in life. And yet all those things that we want and desire can't compare with wisdom. Wow. Incentive. Let's read on. Verse 16, length of days is in her right hand. A lot of people are looking for the fountain of youth, looking for a miracle pill to keep them young, a little nip and tuck, right? Everybody's trying to stay young. And yet, wisdom will give you length of days. We've been seeking the wrong things. In her left hand, riches and honor. How many people do we know that have been seeking fame and fortune? Riches and honor. They're looking for wealth, get rich quick. They're looking for fame. They're looking for the approval and the praise of man. And yet all they had to do was get a hold of the wisdom of God, and in her left hand are riches and honor. See, we're out there working, striving, toiling, going through all this trouble. Why? Because we want to get rich. We want to be honored among men. And yet if we get a hold of the wisdom of God, riches and honor come with. Wow. Wow. Oh, but it doesn't stop there. Verse number 17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. And all her paths are peace. See, people are disturbed. People are stressed out. People are anxious. And everybody's looking for something to numb their pain. Sometimes people turn to a bottle because they want peace, and that's the only peace they have. Sometimes people turn to a drug because they say, I just can't deal or face my reality, and therefore I've got to go somewhere else. And so they turn to a drug. Some people turn to the arms of another, find themselves in the bed of somebody wondering what they're doing. Why? Because they're trying to numb their pain. Some people look to the internet. Some people look to fame and fortune. Some people look to their job and they're a workaholic. Some people look to their family and they just go and that's all they do is that all day. And yet, if you want pleasantness in life, if you want life to be sweet, and you want peace in your life, there's only one place you're going to find it, and that's in the wisdom of God. Wow. Verse 18, and she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy, see, we started with happy. Now we're ending with happy. And happy are all who retain her. See, we've been looking everywhere else, trying to find life in all these things, all this stuff, so many distractions in the world. And yet, God says, if you come and get your wisdom, come and get a hold of it, what's going to happen? She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her. See, Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. He is the tree of life. And when we partake of him and his wisdom, now all of a sudden it equips us and gives us the skill for life, not just life here on earth, but eternal life. Are you listening today? Amen. Should have had a couple better claps than that. That's okay. I know it's daylight savings time. Praise the Lord. Got to stir yourselves up, all right? Come on. Don't get lost. Get your wisdom today. Get your wisdom today. You say, but Pastor, how do I get wisdom? Ah, glad you asked. How do we get skilled? How do we get wisdom? A couple things I want to take a look at today that will equip our lives to get skilled for life so that we are not unskilled, not partakers of milk only, but know that we move on to maturity in the things of God. How do we get skilled? How do we get wisdom? Number one for today. Fear God. Fear God. Now, sometimes people don't understand the fear of the Lord. They think, oh, am I supposed to cower at him? I know God is mighty and he might smite me if I do something wrong. And is that what it means to be afraid of God? Well, in one sense, we see that in the word where Jesus talked about don't fear those who can kill your body and then do nothing afterwards. Fear God who can not only kill your body but cast your soul into hell. And we tremble at that and we say, oh, wow, that's fearful. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, the Bible says, for our God is a consuming fire. So yes, there is that healthy fear, being afraid, just like the ocean. You don't turn your back on the waves. Why? Because one of them may come and knock you down. And so there is that healthy fear that's there. But even beyond that, above and beyond that, God has welcomed us in as his children and wants us to approach him and invites us into his presence. And so the real fear of the Lord is an awe, a respect, a value, a trembling at the word of God. To where you fear the Lord, to when you get a hold of the wisdom of God and the word of God and the way of God, that now you are careful to observe it. What does that speak to? That speaks to priority in our life. That God is not just a priority, but he is the priority. Wow. See, that means every day you make God a priority. Every day when you wake up, God, yes, I'm living my life, but you're above and in my life. Yes, I've got a marriage here, but God, you're the priority in my marriage. Yes, I've got work, but God, you're the priority in my work. Yes, I've got children, but God, you're the priority in my children. Yes, I've got relationships, recreation, things like that, but God, you're the priority in those things. Now, all of a sudden, that gets the wisdom of God in operation in your life. As you fear God, as you tremble at his word, you're careful to observe it. That means every day you get into the word of the Lord. Every day. Every day you get into the presence of God in prayer and in worship and praise. Every day, not just at church. Yes, come to church, get in the presence of God here, but at home. Man, go home and open up your Bible. You say, but Pastor, when I take a look at this Bible, see how thick this is? I mean, that's a little overwhelming, like taking a drink out of a fire hose. I mean, that's a lot. I can't do that every day. Yes, you can. You know how? Get one little verse. One little principle. Remember, line upon line, principle upon principle. Get a hold of the wisdom of God one thing at a time, one day at a time. See, oftentimes when I talk to people about starting a study of the Word of God, I tell them, you know, don't start trying to read a whole chapter every day. Man, you're going to read that and go, my goodness, I didn't understand a word of what I just read. So read until you get a hold of something. When it comes alive and when the Word starts to speak to you, get a hold of that. Does that mean close your Bible? It may. It may not. It may mean that you reread what you just read that spoke to you. Read it again. Read it again. Read it again. See, the fear of the Lord, it's to tremble at His Word. It's to respect and honor and be in awe of God. So when God speaks, we listen. How about this? Write it down. God just spoke this to me through this verse. Talk to your husband or wife about it. Hey, honey, listen. I just got a hold of some wisdom. I just got a hold of the Word of God. Listen to what God is speaking to me. Let's do this. Teach your children about it. Hey, kids, I want you to come here and listen. Listen to what mom or dad has to say. Listen to what God just spoke to me. We got to get this in our lives. Put it on a little post-it note and put it up on your window so that when you're brushing your teeth, you can just be reading it over and over and over again. Memorize the Word. Get it on the inside of you. Talk to your neighbors and your family about it. When you're at work and somebody says, hey, what's new? You say, listen, the Word of God is new and alive in my life, and I got a hold of the wisdom of God. That's what it means to fear God. You're there in the book of Proverbs. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter number 9. Proverbs chapter number 9. And in Proverbs chapter number 9, let's take a look at verse number 10 together. Proverbs chapter number 9, verse number 10 says this. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is the first step on the road to wisdom. If you want to live the right wiseness of God, you want to live God's will, God's way, you got to get the fear of the Lord. That's the place to start. You cannot go anywhere with the wisdom of God without starting at the fear of the Lord. That's where this all starts. You're there in Proverbs chapter number 9. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. The book starts out as explaining about a proverb, kind of setting up the understanding of what this is all about and giving us principles for wisdom. And in Proverbs chapter number 1, right at the outset of this book of wisdom, verse number 7, Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7 says this, the fear of the Lord, there it is again, is the beginning of knowledge. So the fear of the Lord not only is the beginning of wisdom, it's also the beginning of knowledge. You got to have knowledge to gain wisdom. Why? Because knowledge is what you know. Wisdom is the application of those things that you know. So if you start with the fear of the Lord, it's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. But look at this. But fools, we could say immature people or babies, despise wisdom and instruction. In other words, they don't fear God. Oh, I tried getting into the Bible. I read it. Yeah. Not that big of a deal. It's just like any other ancient writing. It's okay. It's some good teachings. There is some wisdom in there, but you know what? I've learned on my own. That's foolish. That's not fearing God. And you're not going to know anything or have any wisdom in your life because the fear of the Lord is just the beginning. It's just the start. Oh, I tried praying and God didn't answer my prayers. And I even believed my prayers when I prayed them. But it never happened. Well, how long did you pray? See, because I knew people that prayed for decades before they got an answer to their prayers. I know people that are still waiting after 30 years for prayers to be answered. What's that? That's the wisdom of God, that it's not my will, but it's His will. It's not my way, but it's His way. It's not my time, but it's His time. And if God chooses, then He is righteous and just in all His ways. That is the wisdom of God. Starts with the fear of the Lord. My goodness, every day, make God the priority. Get into His Word. Get into His presence. Get into prayer. My goodness, that's how we get skilled. Wisdom, number one, is fear God. Second thing for today, if we're going to get a hold of the wisdom of God, of how to get skilled, number two today, is cry out for it. Ask. Do you know that numerous times in the Bible, God invites us into His presence to ask? In fact, Jesus even told parables about it, that we shouldn't give up in our asking, that we should be bold in our asking, and we should be fervent in our asking, and we should be diligent and unrelentless in our approach to the throne of God, and that we should make our requests known, and that we should come into the presence of God. See, sometimes we feel guilty because we've heard people say, oh, don't just ask God for things. No, praise God, thank God, worship God, ask for forgiveness, you know, go and listen to God. But hey, He said ask, so we should ask. And if we need wisdom, we need to cry out for it, and we need to ask for it. You're there in Proverbs chapter number 1. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter number 2, starting in verse number 1, says this, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then, see, until you cry out, until you lift up your voice, nothing's going to happen. It's not just going to fall on you like dewdrops from heaven. That's not how this works. God said, ask. God said, cry out. God said, come and approach and lift up your voice. Day and night, the Bible says, cry out to him. Give him no rest. Wow. That's the terminology we find in the Bible. Until that happens, nothing's going to happen. Why? Because the level or the measure of interest and attention you use, it will be measured back to you. That's the principle of sowing and reaping in the Bible. So if you're not interested in your life, what makes you think God will be interested in your life in that way? God's interested in your life, but God said ask. But he already knows what I need. He's God. Of course he knows. But he said ask. My goodness. God wants us to activate heaven. It's almost as if all heaven is waiting. All the resources of heaven is at your disposal, and it's stationed there, ready to move, but waiting for you to ask. God, give me my wisdom. Bang, there it is. God pours it out on us. God opens it up. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse number 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. See, we're not going to get anything without the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is where it starts. And as we fear God and we come and we ask, then we will understand the fear of the Lord, and God will give us his wisdom. Are you listening today? Very familiar verse when it comes to asking. James chapter 1, verse 5. Turn with me back. If you know where Hebrews is, your Bible may fall open to it if you've been around this place for any time. Turn right past the book of Hebrews to the book of James. James chapter 1. Very familiar verse talking about asking for wisdom. James chapter 1, verse number 5. Says these words. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now we got to stop right there and take a look at a couple of words. If we lack wisdom, if we don't know what to do in our situation, God, I don't know how to have a good marriage. God, I don't know how to raise children. God, I don't know how to do business. It's just me here, God. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have the education. I don't have the knowledge. I'm not cool. I don't have the looks. I don't have the talents. But God, I know you have the wisdom. God, I know you have the way for me. So God, I'm asking. Let him ask of God. Who does what? Who gives liberally and without reproach. Now, what does that mean? God gives liberally. That means that God doesn't give just a little tad bit. You know what I mean by tad bit? A little dabble, do ya? Oh, here you go. Here's a little verse. Go ahead. Get out of my way. No, that's not God. God says, oh, you want wisdom? Oh, you're crying out? You're asking for it? You're passionate about it? You don't know what to do? You want some wisdom? Yeah, yes, God, I want wisdom. Give me the wisdom, God. God says, okay. And he dumps it on us, right? And God doesn't just give you one verse. Now all of a sudden, because you've been asking, because it's passionate, because it's on your mind, you're thinking about it. Now all of a sudden, every time you open the Word, wow, that speaks to me. That's what God, oh, that, it's over here too. Wait a second, wait, that lines up with what I saw. And then pastor was preaching, and somebody came and talked to me, and they shared a verse with me, and it was just my situation. See, God doesn't just give you a little bit. God pours out His wisdom on you, and He shares with you what to do with your life. Pours out His wisdom. He gives liberally, abundantly, more than enough, and without reproach. What does that mean? That means God's not laughing at you. God's not sitting there, stupid people. Of course you came to me for wisdom. I'm God. Here you go. No, God is saying, thank you. I'm glad you came. I was waiting. Now let me share with you, child, how to do this. Listen, if you do, and all of a sudden God's there with you, without reproach. We shouldn't hang our head in shame. God, I guess I couldn't do it on my own. No, of course you couldn't do it on your own. We live in a fallen world, in an earth suit. We got all this stuff against us. Devil's coming against us. Of course we need God. That's the way it's set up. We must rely on God. You cannot save yourself. You need the wisdom of God for salvation. So what makes us think that it's any less in our business, in our homes, with our spouse, with our children, winning people to Jesus? We need the wisdom of God. So we got to ask, and God will give it. That's what this is all about. If we find ourselves in a place of immaturity, lacking the wisdom of God, we just got to go and ask. We got to approach. And God will give it to us, and He will not make fun of us on the way. Are you listening today? Final thing for today. Number one, how to get skilled in wisdom is fear God. Number two is we got to cry out. We got to ask for it. Final thing for today is that we got to live in it. Now, I don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. I know at the beginning we talked about experience is not enough. But when you experience the results of the Word of God, now you get skilled. It's like a master craftsman who has tools, right? They could have all the tools that they need to build something. They could have all the manuals and have read them. But until they break out the materials and start to apply them, there's a feel, there's a touch, there's a sensitivity. Now all of a sudden, as you live in it and as you work that thing out and get dusty, get dirty, now all of a sudden you get the wisdom, the skill for life. Same thing with a sports person, right? They could have all the equipment. They could have all the shin guards, the knee pads, all that kind of stuff. They could have the ball, and they could know the manual of the game. And yet, until they get out there and get some grass stains on their knees, haven't done anything yet. That's where the rubber meets the road, is we have to not only know the Word of God up here in our head, it's got to drop down into our heart, come alive on the inside of us, and then we apply it to our life, and now all of a sudden you see. Now all of a sudden you understand, and now all of a sudden you have the skill of life. And as you apply those principles to your life, it just gets gooder and gooder. Just like we talked about those incentives, now all of a sudden, hey, riches and honor. All of a sudden, man, I started applying the Word of God to my life, and I had more than enough. Started applying the wisdom of God towards my finances. Man, God made provision. Started applying the Word of God to my marriage, and all of a sudden, it wasn't grating and terrible to wake up every day. Now, all of a sudden, we're so in love, more in love than the day we met, more excited and passionate for one another in our marriage. Man, with my kids, they were going astray, but now I've applied the Word of God, and now they're starting to come around, and I can see that they're going to go on for God. See, that is the skill of life, when you apply the Word of God, and you live it out each and every day. Amen. Come on, come on, come on. Give God a praise. Because skill and wisdom does come when we experience and do the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll end with this today. Ephesians chapter 5, last verse for today. Ephesians chapter 5, talking about living in the Word of God, the wisdom of God, getting skilled in the Word of righteousness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15 says this. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Now, anytime you see the word walk, it means to live out your life. So see then that you live out your life circumspectly. What does that mean? Carefully. Be careful about your life. Be intentional about your life. Don't just float through life. Whatever happens, happens. C'est la vie. Such is life, right? That's not what this is about. This is about us being careful, fearing God, asking Him for the wisdom, and then carefully doing the Word of God. See then that you walk circumspectly or carefully, not as fools, but as wise. Not as babes, but as full grown. Not as immature, but as mature. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We know that the days are evil, but we're not going to fret. We're not going to be concerned. Why? Because we've got the wisdom of God. Verse 17, therefore, in other words, because of what I just said, that we are to be careful about our life, not be foolish, but be wise, and because the days are evil, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God wants you to live out His word in your life. God wants you to take the wisdom that you get from Him and apply it to every area of your life. And as you do, those incentives we talked about will start to come to pass. See, wisdom is a wise investment for each and every one of us. Getting hold of the wisdom of God is a wise investment because it will change the world that we live in. Let's turn back to Hebrews one last time. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 13, once again. Now the verse comes alive with meaning and explodes in our understanding. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 says this. It says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And we know that those who get skilled in the word of righteousness, the right wisdom of God for our lives, now is mature and going on with God. What did we learn today? Well, we learned how to get skilled. Wisdom. Number one is we fear God. We tremble at His word. Every day we make Him the priority. Secondly, we cry out for it. We ask. And finally, we live in it. If you got something from the word of God today, come on, give God a great big praise. Hallelujah.